made in Dagenham Ford Machinists Pay Strike 50 Years on Juliet Fogelman, East London Socialist Party. This year, the 7th of June marks the 50th anniversary of the start of the strike by women sewing machinists at Ford Motor Company's Dagenham plant in East London. The strike by 187 women workers was one of the triggers for the 1970 Equal Pay Act, which made it illegal to pay men and women differently for the same job, and was the inspiration for the 2010 film Made in Dagenham. In the Labour Party's manifesto for the 1964 general election, they had proposed a charter of rights including the right to equal pay for equal work. However, Harold Wilson's Labour government had not taken any action on this until forced to, in part, by the 1968 strike in Dagenham. The Labour MP Shirley Summerskill acknowledged the role of the strike when speaking at the second reading debate of the Equal Pay Bill. "We must acknowledge in this debate a group of women who played a very significant part in the history of the struggle for equal pay. I refer to that small group of women machinists at Ford, who went on strike for their beliefs and their rights. Those women had to take really forceful action to achieve this principle. Due to the importance of the strike in women's struggle for equal pay, it can be easy to forget that the strike was also about how the strikers' work was classified. Profits. Companies like Ford were making huge profits, but still did what they could to keep wages low. There were often separate lower pay grades for women workers, especially in the private sector. In 1967 there was a regrading exercise at Ford which introduced a new grading structure for production and craft jobs. Sewing machinists, which included the largest group of women production workers, were graded as a B, less skilled production jobs, and they were paid 15% less than men who were graded as B. The women machinists at Ford, who had to be a machinist for 2 years, and take a test, before being able to get a job in the plant, were furious as they felt that their job should be classified as C-grade, more skilled production jobs. However, management refused to alter the grade. Gwen Davis was one of leading strikers and said, when interviewed for a project by the Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch in 2016, "We always put in a wage claim for all the extra money and the grading, which is what we were fighting for, the grading to be the same as the men, and of course Ford wouldn't acknowledge us. They kept saying, B-grade is semi-skilled. Women are semi-skilled." Not all trade union officials at this time, unions that now make up Unite the Union, were supportive of women receiving equal pay to men. It's reported that the shop steward for the women workers, Lilla Callaghan, had to originally push the union convener Bernie Parsingham into supporting the cause. However, he did then fully back them. Another striker interviewed for the Queen's Theatre project, Lisa Taylor, explained that Bernie gave us the courage to get up and say, "Come on, get up." It was Lil and Bernie that got us all going. This shows the importance of being backed by your union, but also that sometimes they need to be pushed by their rank and file members. In 1968, before the anti-trade union laws, a legal postal ballot was not required and neither was 2 weeks' notice. So the women held a meeting, stuck their hands up to vote to strike, and then down at tools. Restricting workers from being able to vote on action in this collective way has removed the strength and confidence that can be gained from seeing workers all around you putting their hands up for industrial action. The workers were on strike for 3 weeks and their cause gained momentum as other women workers could identify with their cause. There was solidarity action by men, but it was complicated. For years, companies had been using divisive tactics to try and justify paying women less. So among some male workers there was the idea these women were only working for pin money. But they weren't. The women workers and their families needed the wages to get by. However, the Dagenham strikers were united and determined. Even though it was the first time they'd gone out just for themselves, they had gone out many times when the male workers were on strike. They were also later joined on strike by women workers at Halewood plant in Merseyside, which added to the pressure on Ford. Eventually car production at Ford ceased, as without the car seats that the women machinists produced, no cars could be made. This caused the dispute to become a national news story. Ford was losing over £1 million a day, but instead of just conceding and paying the women the few extra pence they were asking for, management did what they often do, blame the workers. layoffs. Bill Batty, the Ford Group's managing director, hinted that the strike could eventually put 40,000 jobs at risk. And he did lay off 9,000 at GM workers, although they were all later reinstated. To stop further unrest, the Labour government's Secretary of State for Employment and Productivity, Barbara Castle, stepped in and met with 8 of the women strikers. A deal was agreed that the women would immediately get a pay rise to 92% of the male workers' rate for Grade B jobs, and then get the full rate the year after. It was also agreed that a court of inquiry would look into their A grading to see if it should be a Grade B or C. The strikers went back to work, having shown that collective action is powerful, and 2 years later the 1970 Equal Pay Act was passed. However, this was not the end of the story, as the Court of Inquiry did not find in the women machinists' favor and their jobs remained at B grade. If a strike forces concessions, but does not win everything the strikers want, then workers can always take further industrial action. This is exactly what the women machinists did in 1984, and this time, after 9 weeks of strike action, they won a regrading of their jobs to Grade C. Today unions may not be as combative as they were in 1968, in part due to the various anti-trade union laws that have been introduced in the intervening years by the Tories and left in place by Labour. But the recent victory by striking workers, mainly women, at Avenue School in East London against academisation, shows that organising and taking determined industrial action can still gain huge victories.